Yes, thank the Lord for that song this morning. And I love Him too much this morning to fail Him. And I am also encouraged and challenged, and my heart has been, I've been feasting on that song this week. And I appreciate the young people singing it for us this morning. The song said His grace will be sufficient. Do you know this morning that whatever difficulties or trials that you face in life, His grace is sufficient that you can make it. And I am so thankful for the Lord, and I am thankful to have the privilege to love the Lord this morning. I ask an interest in your prayers. I've written on the board Peter's response. The burden the Lord put on my heart is found in Luke in the 5th chapter. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him, speaking of Christ, to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And I'd like to just stop for a moment here. There were multitudes of people that followed Christ to hear His teaching. And I think sometimes we have in our minds, we think about the 12 disciples. And it was a small number of faithful followers that He had. But there were thousands of people that followed Christ, because remember when He fed the 5,000 with the loaves and fishes? That was 5,000 men. And you know, the women usually outnumber the men, and the children usually outnumber the women. So there could have been 15, 20, 25,000 people, it's possible, that were there that day. So when we think about the multitudes pressing on Christ, it was more than just 20 or 30. There were thousands of people that came, and it said that people pressed upon Him, and you know what they were there for? It said to hear the word of God. Now, I know there were people that followed Jesus for the loaves and the fishes. That's why they wanted to make Jesus a king. If we made Him our king, then we don't have to worry about food ever again. But yet, the people in this passage were pressing Him and following Him because they had a desire to hear the word of God. I would this morning that we also would have a desire to hear the word of God. I know that there are loaves and fishes, but folks, the Lord wants us to have a desire to hear God's Word. I want to know God's way. I want to know the things that God expects of me. I want to know what the Lord wants me to do. Do you know this morning, if you do not have a desire for the things of God, it's not going to be satisfied. But if you have a desire for God, then the Lord's going to see fit to fill you with His Word. So the people were pressing around Him. And take note, it said He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. That was the same as the Sea of Galilee. It has multiple names. The Sea of Galilee was, in size at least, it was 13 miles long. It had, its shoreline was 33 miles of shoreline. 64 square miles of lake. Josephus said that the Sea of Galilee, of course he was writing of this time period, he said that it was a very fertile area. It was a beautiful area with lots of trees, walnut trees and fig trees. Grapes were in the area. The temperature sounds like it was a very mild and a very nice temperature. So there were trees that were bearing in their season all year long. Today, this area is fertile, as one person put it, it's fertile for thorns. It's a barren area today. But in the time of Christ, it was a beautiful place. And if you can just get a vision in your mind of Jesus walking up to the Sea of Galilee, thousands of people possibly. It said a multitude, and we know what that multitude was other places, pressing in on Him to hear the Word of God. And He came up in this beautiful area, and let's see what happened. It said He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. I want to say this. There was something that was motivating the people to follow Jesus. What's motivating you this morning? You know, the Scripture says that Jesus taught not as the scribes and the Pharisees, for He taught as one having authority. Jesus, I don't know that He was necessarily a charismatic figure. In other words, in His presentation. But keep in mind that the Old Covenant was about thou shalt not. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But you know, Jesus came preaching and teaching a gospel that was so different than what was under the Old Covenant. He came preaching a gospel of blessed art thou. In other words, thou shalt not. No, Jesus came teaching, He said, blessed art thou. Thou hunger and thirst after righteousness, thou shalt be filled. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed, blessed, blessed. You know, that's a very different doctrine, isn't it? And He began to expound on a moral way of living in a transformation of spirit that was very different than what the scribes and the Pharisees, how they taught. And the people were amazed. What does the song say? Never a man spake like this man. There was something that Jesus spoke under the unction of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, remember? And a few of His disciples were with Him, and Elias and Moses were there and communed with Christ. When they fell down, when God spake out of heaven, God spake and He said, "This is My beloved Son, hear ye Him." In other words, it's not now the law and the prophets, which was represented by Elias, or Elijah was the prophets, and Moses represented the law, but God was saying, "I want you to listen to My Son." This morning, there are a lot of voices in the world. There are a lot of ideologies. There are a lot of religions in the world. There are a lot of different faiths that we can follow. I want to encourage us this morning to hear the Word of the Lord. When you begin to get confused about what this one says and that one says, it's time to get your eye, put some blinders on, and get your eyes on Jesus and listen to what He says. There was something that drew, and I would this morning that more people have a hunger for the words of the Lord Jesus. And so when He came there, they were following, and He saw two ships. Now, there was no synagogue that was big enough to hold this multitude of people. And so Jesus often taught outside. We find Him in the synagogues. We find Him there. But we find that many times He taught outdoors because there wasn't a synagogue big enough to hold the thousands. And on the sea it said He saw two ships. Now, Josephus said about this, that on this lake there were generally or approximately 230 ships. And boat would be a better word. Alright? Translation-wise, there were boats. These were not big ships. These were fishing boats. Alright? A deckless fishing boat. Well, when Jesus got there, can you imagine Him walking to the edge and the people, just the thousands of people behind Him pressing in? And so He came and He had a request of some of these men that were washing their nets. Now keep in mind, these were fishermen. These were ignorant fishermen. That's according to Scripture. These were not highly educated men. But folks, Jesus had a call for their life. Jesus had something that He wanted them to do. And so He came and He saw them washing their nets, and they were preparing, they were getting finished with a night's fishing. Remember the story? We're going to read it. But they had been fishing all night. Remember how many fish they caught? They didn't catch any, did they? So they came back to shore, and they were preparing their nets and cleaning them and getting it ready for the next night's fishing. They had things to do. Want us to keep in mind, they were busy. Are you busy? We have things to do. I've got life to live. I've got to make a living for my family. That's exactly what these men were doing. They were being responsible husbands and responsible fathers. They were cleaning their nets. They worked hard. They didn't have a lot to show for it, but they were still working industriously. And in the middle of their busyness, Jesus came along, thank God. And it said he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon or Peter. Simon Peter. He entered into his ship and prayed him or entreated him. He asked him. He said, Peter or Simon, do you mind pushing out from shore just a little bit? And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. You know this morning that the Lord is looking for people who will do His bidding? All of us have things to do. And it is the busyness and cares of this life that are keeping us too often from doing God's will and fulfilling His purpose in our life. At this juncture, Jesus had not said yet. He did not yet say, leave your nets. But He said, would you allow me to come onto your boat? You think the Lord's asking that this morning? Would you allow me to come into your boat? The Scripture says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Folks, the Lord is not going to force His way into our life this morning. The Lord is not going to force you to be obedient to His Word. The Lord is not going to force you to leave your nets. The Lord is not going to force you to allow Him to get on your boat. He did not come to push the door down and said, I'm coming in whether you want me to or not. But Simon, could I use your boat? Well, Lord, I'm busy. I wouldn't mind, but I've got some nets to clean because I've got a family to feed. Simon, do you mind if I come onto your boat? Come on, Lord. How many this morning are willing to invite the Lord onto their boat? Lord, I want you to come. And I want you to come where I am. I want you to be in the middle of everything that's going on in my life. Lord will not force you. Young people, God will not force you to serve Him. But He's saying, would you let me come into your life? Would you let me come in your boat? And would you let me use it? Do you know that the Lord many times wants to use the natural, temporal things that He has blessed us with? God was the one that had allowed Peter to have a boat to start with. And He came and said, would you let me use what I've given you already? God gave you that boat. Would you let me use it? I wonder this morning if sometimes we are a little bit too tight-fisted with God. Who gave you what you have this morning? Who gave us time and energy and talents? And who gave us the ability to fish? Who gave us the ability to work? Who gave us the ability to talk? Well, Lord, it was you. And I'm busy doing things with it. And Lord said, would you let me borrow it for just a little bit? Do you know the Lord has something for you to do in His kingdom this morning? If you will allow the Lord to come into your life, He wants to come in and use you. But too many times we are too busy. And the Lord's saying, I'd like to use you. Would you let me? You know what Peter's response was? We know his response by the evidence that he pushed his ship or his boat away from the shore. Do you know why Jesus did that? Because if he could just get back from the multitude just a little bit, it was possible maybe that over the water his voice would be amplified and that he, instead of just preaching like if I got real close here and I was preaching on this side, you know, that side would be a little bit neglected, but if we could push away from the shore just a little bit, then his voice would be amplified just a little bit more. But how did that happen? It was because someone was willing to stop doing what they were doing and say, Lord, you can use my boat. Do you think you have something the Lord wants to use this morning? And the Lord did not ask for their credentials. He did not ask them how much money they had in the bank. He did not ask them, what are your strengths and weaknesses? The Lord knew exactly who they were. And you know, this morning, God has a work for each and every one of us, And on the other hand, you know, sometimes people act as if they stop doing what they're doing, the work of God would die. Do you know the work of God was going on before you existed, and it's going to exist after we're all gone. But yet, God is, don't overvalue yourself in that way. But at the same time, the Lord's looking for people to say, Lord, you can use what I have. And God wants to use you, but folks, many people are too busy and they keep cleaning their nets. But Peter said, Lord, you can come on. So verse 3 said, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon. He prayed or entreated him. He asked him to thrust out a little bit from the land. It was volunteer. Peter had things to do, but he allowed God to order his steps. Are we willing to let the Lord order our steps this morning? See, I know that it is not a man that walketh to direct his steps. Do you believe that? I still believe it this morning. I don't know what tomorrow holds. So Lord, I really want you in my ship. I want you in my life. I want you in my boat. And when the Lord says, Michael, I'd like you to push out a little bit. But Lord, I'm busy. Michael, I'm asking you, would you push out a little bit? Jesus sat down and he taught the people. You know, we find this on more than one occasion, Jesus sitting down and teaching. You know, we might think of Jesus as some dynamic speaker. I'm not sure that he was. But his words were anointed by the Holy Spirit. And it was the Jewish custom for the rabbis, and it wasn't that they never stood. Jesus stood and read the scripture, remember? The first message that we have recorded of Christ. But many other places we find Jesus sat down after the custom of Jewish teachers. It was to sit down and teach the people. And so Jesus sat down, and in verse 4, it said, when he had left speaking, he said, Simon. In other words, Simon, you did what I asked you to do. You were obedient to me. And I want you to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. I want you to move from where you are right now. Because I have a blessing to give to you. You know this morning that the Lord has a blessing for each and every one of us. But when the Lord says launch out, we need to obey the Lord and launch out. And many times we do as Peter did, because Peter said, Master, he said, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. We toiled all night. It's like, Lord, I've already thought through this. Now, I don't know about everybody here. We all have different personalities, and some people just do things as life happens. Sometimes that happens in our life, actually quite a bit. But my personality is the plan. And there are things that I like to think through. What are the ramifications? If you do this, what's going to happen? What are they going to do? What's going to be the consequence? What's the long-term consequence? What's the short-term results? And you plan. Alright? That's why you have a business plan in the business that you do. You plan. What do you expect? What's gonna happen? How are we gonna prepare for this? And so Peter had already thought through. He's like, Lord, we already tried that. What do you think we've been doing all night, Lord? I mean, we just heard you speak by the Holy Spirit, but Lord, we've already been working all night. I want to encourage us this morning not to limit God by our thinking. Now, I've told my children before, God gave you a brain for a reason. He wants you to use it. He gave you a brain, use it, it's a muscle. You don't use it, you lose it. You need to use it and exercise yourself, exercise your brain. But folks, here's something about this though. We are talking about God now. We're talking about God who can see tomorrow. We're talking about God who knows better than we do what we need. And sometimes the Lord comes and He gives us a job to do, or He has a request for us. And it's like, Lord, I've already thought through this. But folks, our thinking is not as God's thinking. Our ways are not as God's ways. Can we acknowledge that? Do you know when we can begin to acknowledge that God's ways are higher than our ways, it will begin to change the direction of our life. It will begin to change because now I'm not just going on what I see. Lord, I am dependent upon You to direct my path and to lead me. And so Peter began to give his reasons. But folks, God had a perfect plan. And I want to encourage especially the younger ones this morning, God has a plan for your life. And it's a good plan, and I can't tell you what it is, because I'm not God. But if you will follow the Lord and be obedient to Him, He has something really good in store for each and every one of us today. So Peter offered his reasons, but I'm so thankful his response wasn't just the reasons. He said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Nevertheless. In other words, in spite of, or notwithstanding, all the same, I have all the reasons why it doesn't really make sense. Do you know God's plan does not always make sense? God's purposes there are sometimes you might read something and be like, "Lord, that really doesn't make sense to live this way. I hear what the world is saying and I see what they're doing and Lord, it just really doesn't make sense." Folks, be obedient when God doesn't make sense. I want to encourage you when you do not understand the reasons, but you know the way according to the Spirit, be obedient. When the Lord says, launch out, launch out. When He says, let down your nets again, it's like, "Lord, I already tried and it didn't work." But Lord, nevertheless, I acknowledge that You are God. Nevertheless, I'm going to obey. Folks, obedience is not always convenient. Children, is obedience to your parents always convenient? It's not, is it? You know, with God, it's not either. Obedience is not always convenient, but nevertheless. You remember Jesus used that word in the Garden of Gethsemane when He was praying? He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." In other words, I know what's ahead of me, and Lord, I don't want to do that in the flesh. I have told the Lord the same thing, "Lord, I don't want to do that." And I had to pray more than 3 times. See, Jesus kept praying too. But He always came back to the place that He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." I wonder, is there anybody here this morning that can say, "Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done"? I've got my plans, I've got my dreams, I've got my purposes, I've got my ideas, I've got my thoughts, I have my ways, but the Lord came along and said, "Would you do this?" And I have all my reasons why I don't think that's the best course of action. Or maybe it's a cross that I'm not, it hurts. You know, the cross is a place of death. But it's also a place that brings life. And that's why Peter, in spite of his thinking, he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." What could God do today with us, with our world, if more people would say, "But nevertheless, Lord, I'm going to do what You want"? I believe we would see more power with God. I believe we would see greater victories because it's not convenient, and obedience is compliance to an order or submitting yourself to someone else's authority. We're a pretty independent people, aren't we? But are we willing to obey the Lord and say, "Lord, I place myself in submission to You"? Do you know why we obey the Lord? The only motivation for obedience is acceptable to God is love. However my children might feel about me, especially when they're little and they're, you know, regardless of what they're thinking, you know, as a job of a parent is to teach them obedience. And sometimes that is through suffering. But I want them to learn obedience. Because children that don't learn to obey mom and dad won't learn to obey God either. But I am going to, with a young child, I'm going to ensure obedience. But you know, God is not doing that with us this morning. Because He's not going to force any of us to obey. So He wants us to obey Him because we love Him. If a man love me, Jesus said, he will do what? He'll keep my commandments. He'll keep my words if a man love me. So that's what's acceptable to God this morning. If there's a lack of obedience, do you know that's an indication of a lack of love? It's an indication of a lack of love. This morning, it is a trick of the devil to try, you young people and children, the devil wants to make you think that this is about thou shalt and thou shalt not. That's the devil. Jesus is saying, blessed art thou. If you love me, if you'll do what I've asked you to do, you know what, I've got a blessing for you. This is a really good way to live life, is following the Lord. Lord, help us to follow His example. And when we disobey the Lord, do you know we're the losers? There are illustration after illustration, and we don't have time this morning. But there are so many illustrations in the Scripture of those that chose to disobey, and they were the ones that lost. But Peter said, nevertheless, at thy word, and it said when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net brake. The translation, again, their net was close to breaking, because if it would have completely broken, they wouldn't have been able to get the fish on the ship or on the boat, okay? So the translation is their nets were breaking, but they were able to fill up their boat with fish. Do you know why they were able to do that? Because Peter's response was nevertheless. How many blessings have we missed out on because we did what we wanted to do and did not submit to God's will? Said they let down their net, and when they done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net brake, and they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship or the other boat, that they should come and help them, and they came and they filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Folks, it pays to be obedient. That's in spite of filling. It's in spite of how I see it. It's, Lord, nevertheless, at thy word. And when we choose, because we love the Lord, to obey Him, folks, there is a great blessing that God has in store for us. Are there sacrifices? Yes. But the reward fully outweighs what we have to give up for God. Do you think it was a coincidence that they caught fish? Think that was a coincidence? See, they had labored all night. They labored all night long. But do you know that our obedience for today prepares us for tomorrow? The fish that were absent during the night when they were fishing, they were right where God wanted them to be in the heat of the morning when it's not practical to fish. God was preparing those fish and He was getting them gathered together at the right place at the right time for those that were obedient that they could reap the harvest and gather in the fish. Folks, it wasn't coincidence. God has a plan for our lives this morning. And when the blessings come, it is not a coincidence. But it's going to take us responding like Peter, saying, Lord, I don't understand, but I am willing and ready. And not only that, but I'm going to follow through and I'm going to do what You wanted me to do. And they went away with a full boat. So is there anybody here that needs your boat filled up this morning? You've been fishing all night. All right, there's two of us. Been fishing all night. But don't give up, because maybe the Lord says, can I use your ship, your boat? It's like, I didn't catch anything. I've got to use that to go try to find some more. If there's ever, if this is really not good timing, Lord, if I would have caught a lot of fish through the night, that's when the Lord comes along and says, hey, can I use, is it, yes, Lord, I've got all I need. I've got all the fish I need. I can go to market and sell them, and I've got food for the day. I've got food for all week. The Lord sometimes asks us to do things at, it seems like it's the worst time. Someone recently started making some donations to the mission work. And on the bottom, I think I shared this a while back, on the bottom of their check, and I'm reminded every month, on the bottom of their check they wrote life insurance. And they told me, I've heard that you can't outgive God. I'm trying to see if you can. Thank the Lord for people like that. I wish there were more of them. Do you know that his testimony was, I was given when the Lord told me to give, and it seemed like the Lord just kept blessing and multiplying in their own life. The Lord sometimes comes along and asks us to sacrifice our time and money and our energy when we least feel like it. We say, Lord, if you could have asked me last year, maybe, Lord, at least wait till the coffers are full. Wait till I'm feeling a little bit more energy. I'm kind of tired right now. But nevertheless, Lord, at thy word, you want a full boat, folks? Do it when the Lord tells you to move out. When God tells you to do something, you want a blessing from the Lord, launch out. Well, the story doesn't end there, and we're going to be done here shortly. But I read on, and it doesn't end. It said, Simon Peter saw it, and he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Do you know, it was the result of being in the presence of God, he recognized that I am unworthy. I am unworthy to be in your presence. I've heard your teaching, and I've seen you work a miracle, and Lord, I am just not worthy. Jesus knew exactly who he was asking to obey him. Jesus knew exactly who he was making these requests of. And you know, when we come into the presence of God, there ought to be on us that, Lord, I am not worthy. But we are living in a time and in a society, and may I say, it's too much even among the camp, where people think they are doing God a favor in their sacrifice. Lord, I will give you this. Like we are stooping to do God a service. When our approach ought to be, Lord, I am not worthy. Do you see the difference? Some think, well, I have so much to offer. The Lord cannot use us when we think we have so much to offer. The Lord can take a willing vessel and use a willing, ignorant vessel a whole lot more than he can that someone that has a lots of money and lots of ability and lots of talent, because God will be the one to empower, but he's looking for people that will recognize, Lord, I am unworthy, but I am willing to submit myself and let you use me how you want me. Folks, the Lord wants you this morning. The Lord needs all of us this morning. We all have something different to offer to the Lord, but it ought to be that I'm not worthy. But Lord, I acknowledge your worthiness, and I just give you everything that I have for you to do with it, what you will. So he fell down and he worshiped. And Jesus responded, it said he was astonished. And all that were with him at the draught of the fish which they had taken. And so also with James and John, the sons of Zebedee. See, other people were affected. Other people had seen the Lord work. And Jesus said to Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. I have shown you my power. Do you know the Lord leads us step by step? He started by just saying, can I use your boat for just a little bit? You know, the Lord starts with that. He's not going to ask you for something that you're not able to give. But he started by a small request, and when there was obedience, and then there was a reward, Simon was willing at that point to say, yes, Lord, I believe, and I've seen what you can do. And I'm going to respond to this call. And this is what happened. This is our closing verse. It said, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and they followed him. God had a job for them to do. And do you know that the success of Peter's ministry was due to his unconditional surrender to the Lord? His response was, yes, Lord, I will do what you want. Half-hearted service does not get us very far, folks. Serving the Lord and just kind of going part way, but the Lord is looking for people to have a response like Peter's. If he wants to use the boat, or if he says, I have something more for you to do, I just want to ask this, and I can only answer it for me. But is there anyone here this morning that is really willing and ready and say, Lord, I will forsake all? You know, when you forsake, it means you let go of. And you know, Jesus might say, I want you to stay right here because I'm going to come by this way again and I need to use that boat again. So you just keep catching fish. And when I'm ready, I'll have some fish to eat when I come by. And I'll have a boat that I can use. But there are others, the Lord wants them to leave what they had planned. But what the Lord's looking for in all of us is an unconditional surrender and consecration in obedience that I will forsake all and I will follow. I will follow Him. What are we following this morning? What are we really wanting out of life? Folks, God has a plan for our life, and I would like to encourage us to have a response like Peter. Say, yes, Lord. And when you don't understand, nevertheless, at thy word, and God has a blessing in mind for each one of us. Amen.